Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
This morning, I want to start a series of messages, just a few messages as we're beginning this year on stewardship. And don't everybody run out the door. It's not going to be bad. We'll try to enjoy it together. Back in 1989, there was an article in the Lexington Herald Leader about a family that was living in West Palm Beach, Florida. They told a film crew that it was okay for them to film a series that was going on. And the producers and director and everything said, now, you got to understand that this is going to be huge. We're actually going to do cars. They're going to come racing in, and they're going to wreck in your front yard, and there'll be explosions and everything like this. And the people said, yes, go for it. While the yard was being blown up, one of the neighbors called the actual owner of the house, who lived in New York City, had a winter home down there that they rented out. So the people that said, sure, you can do this, were not actually the owners. They were just guests in that house. Imagine the trouble that ensued there. One other story I want you to have in your hearts this morning. The Stradivari Society of Chicago performs an important role in the music world. The society entrusts expensive violins into the hands of world-class violin players who could never afford to have them on their own. Top-flight violins made by 17th and 18th century masters like Antonio Stradivari produce an incomparably beautiful sound and now sell for millions of dollars each. Their value continues to climb, making such violins highly attractive to investors. Quote, great violins are not like works of art, writes music critic John Van Rien. They were never meant to be hung on a wall or locked up under glass. Any instrument will lose its tone if it's not played regularly. Conversely, an instrument gains in value the more it is played, end quote. And so it is with those who own the world's greatest violins. They are looking for first-class players to use them. The Stradivari Society brings them together, making sure that the instruments are preserved and cared for. And one further requirement made by the investors, that in such violins, the musician will give the patron at least 2 command performances per year. Now, I hope you can follow my reading there. Basically, these incredible, incredible musical instruments that are priceless. They have risen in price to where they're truly priceless. Young musicians, some incredibly talented, some even older musicians, incredibly talented but incredibly poor, could never ever begin to own one of those instruments. However, this Stradivari Society makes these available. They watch over the instrument, they set the standard, but it allows these incredible musicians to play an incredible instrument. As you can imagine this morning, as I said, our subject today is stewardship. I'm going to show you, if I could, from the Word of God, that what God does in our lives, all of our lives, is very similar to the Stradivarius society. I want us to find the foundation of this truth this morning. If you have your Bibles, two verses of Scripture in Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. And by the way, this is not complicated. So don't be taken back by the simplicity of what I'm telling you this morning, but grab hold of the simplicity of this message and realize that it is in this simplicity that God wants to work. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Now, Father, I praise you and thank you today for your word. I thank you for the truth that you've laid in my heart. But I pray, Lord, that even in the simplicity of this message, that we would gird up the loins of our minds. For I know, Lord, that in the simplicity and in the understandable truth of this message, that it will be tempting for us to think on to other things. But may we grab hold of ourselves to know and examine this truth for our own lives. Not just in concept, but Lord, in the reality. Help us today by your Holy Spirit. Guide me as I share, and guide every listener in Jesus' name. Amen. First point is a simple point, but has to be on all of our tables. You cannot talk about stewardship. We cannot go on down the road of Scripture and talk about stewardship in any of its forms without starting right here. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. The impact of this truth will have no effect on us unless we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Anybody here believe that? They didn't just happen. Wasn't an explosion. God created the heavens and the earth. Isn't it interesting? You got to go back to the beginning of this book, and you got to grasp the truth that's right in the opening pages of this book in order for you to embrace the truth of the rest of the book. I think it's interesting, you know, because many an author, many who write a book, you know, they want to stretch it out so it draws you on in toward the conclusion. But God, he lets the cat out of the bag right at the beginning. He created it all. Without him, nothing was made, John 1 says. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That should be in every single one of us. That, my friends, is evangelism 101. You say, oh, but what about, yes, you want to talk about Jesus, but you want to let people know that God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 11:6 says we must believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can't get to the second part until you get to the first part. And church, you will never fully understand stewardship and our responsibilities into stewardship until you reach out and grab hold of the truth that's right there in Psalm 24 that says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Listen to this. The land is the Lord's. He told the nation of Israel in Leviticus 25. He said, the land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine. And you're but aliens and tenants. These were the people he loved. These are the people that he chose. Follow me? So if the people that he loved, if the people that he called family, those that he was married to, if you will, if he said to them, you don't own the land is mine, where does that leave those who don't belong to him? The animals are his. Psalm 57. Hear, O my people, and I will speak and testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stable or your goat or of a goat from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Wow. I said simple. It doesn't get any clearer than that. God says it's mine. He even lays claim on people. Ezekiel 18, for every living soul belongs to me. The Father as well as the Son, both alike, belong to me. Speaking specifically of Israel or his chosen, in Numbers chapter 13, he says, for all the firstborn are mine. When I struck down all the firstborn of Egypt, I set apart for myself every firstborn in Israel, whether man or animal, they are to be mine. I am the Lord. I bring that one forth because I want you to see that God is a God of possession. But speaking of the redeemed, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, listen, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Romans chapter 14, verse 8, if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. You know, this is such a simple truth, and it's such a powerful truth, but so many Christians miss this truth. They will even acknowledge it with their mouths. They will even proclaim it sometimes. Yes, the earth is the Lord's. I am the Lord's. Everything I have is the Lord's. And then go about their lives never consulting the Lord, never asking the Lord, never thinking about the Lord in all the many decisions they have concerning their stuff. I would tell you that everything in this world is at God's disposal to use as he sees fit. Haggai 2:6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. In other words, there's a day coming, my friends, where all the wealth and all the possessions will be brought in. Those who have rejected the call of the Lord, those who have rejected the truth that we're trying to impart here today, will one day surrender everything they have over to the Lord. You know, I was thinking about this last week. I was given an incredible possession. It's just unbelievable possession. And I just want to tell you about it this morning. The Lord gave me, He gave me 168 hours. Just gave them to me. It was incredible. He gave me those 168 hours for me to be the steward over those hours. I began to kind of think about it. I worked about 54 hours. I prayed about 8. Slept approximately 42. That leaves about 64 hours. And as the Lord put upon my heart, you know, and I began to kind of lay that out, and I realized there were 64 additional hours beyond the work and the prayer and the sleeping, and asking myself, what did you do with those? Because I had received this incredible gift from the Lord. And can I tell you, one that really, I have to say, I didn't do anything in order to get that 168 hours. He just gave it to me and put it into my hands and said, here, be a steward over these 168 hours. I have shared this illustration with you before, but I love it. It has such an impact in my mind and heart that I share it again. William Carey, called the father of modern missions, went to India in 1793. He worked there for 40 years, never once returning to his native England. He translated portions of scripture into more than a dozen Indian languages. One afternoon, after 20 years of plodding translation work in India, a fire raged through Carey's printing plant and warehouse. All of his printing equipment was destroyed, but most tragically, many of his precious manuscripts were completely consumed. 20 years of nonstop labor were gone within a few hours. Quote, the ground must be labored over again, but we are not discouraged. This Carey wrote to his pastor friend, Andrew Murray, in England. Quote, we have all been supported under the affliction and preserved from discouragement. To me, the consideration of the divine sovereignty and wisdom has been very supporting. I preached on this affliction last Lord's Day from Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I principally dwelt upon two ideas. Number one, God has a sovereign right to dispose of us as he pleases. And number two, we ought to acquiesce in all that God does with us and to us. In other words, God can do whatever he wants to do with me and my life, and I need to flow with it. That's what he was saying. Now, I know because he was human that it impacted him when that occurred. And he may have had to take a few minutes or a few hours getting back underneath that to realize. Because God understands our humanity. But you hear me this morning. If we would truly get a hold of the truth that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and every single thing that is in it, including ourselves, belongs to him, it will change the way we think about every possession in our life, every moment of our life will be altered and changed. I've said this before, and I kind of tremble when I say it, but this is true. Many folks pat themselves on the back because they were able to get up and go to church on a Sunday morning. Look what we have done. Your whole 168 hours of the week belong to him. You and I are just stewards of his possession. My second point to you this morning. If God is the owner of all things, then we are stewards, managers of that which he has entrusted to our care. The word steward that is used many times in the scripture is the Greek word oikonomos. It means the manager of a household or estate. Stewards hold in trust what they're given to manage. Now think on a minute. If everything in this world and everyone in this world belongs to the Lord. And you and I are just stewards or managers of our portion of that. Then there's a lot of decision making in here that should be refreshed by His presence. Huh? Paul said, so then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Paul is speaking here of the trust that has been given of the secret things of God. How many in here this morning are believers? You have been given a trust. God has invested the truth of the ages to you. He doesn't say that He's going to dispatch angels with the gospel message and send it out all over the world for them to proclaim. He doesn't say that He's going to use part of His creation and organize the clouds into words so that in every single language people could understand what He has done for mankind in sending Jesus into this world. No, He has one method that He has chosen out of His creation to take the gospel to the ends of the earth and to every single person who has not yet heard the gospel. And that method of the Lord is that He leads a sinner to His saving grace and then dispatches that sinner saved by grace into a world that is lost. Particularly, church, after we have been believers for a few years, we somehow, and we would never admit this at all because we're all humble. So we would never admit this. But we begin to take on that persona of righteousness that speaks and lives out a concept that says, look at me, I'm a believer. Maybe I'm even filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I have arrived. I am spiritually in tune with God. And you're privileged to be around me because I am part of the chosen. This may surprise you this morning, but God loves the worst sinner in this whole world as much as He loves you. He is desiring that incredible sinner, that wretched person, that they would turn their hearts to Him. And when they do, He is anticipating that receiving the incredible gift of salvation will be so important in their life that they would turn and share that truth with someone else. It's interesting to me that within the body of Christ that we have to make evangelism and spreading the gospel as something we beg the church to do. Oh, please, won't you pick up a tract and at least lay it down for somebody to find? Won't you please tell somebody about Jesus? When in fact, we're not our own. We were bought with a price. And hear me this morning. If you were not bought with a price, you have no hope of heaven. If you are still the dominant person, the dominant entity in your life, if you are still making your own decisions and not consulting the Lord, you cannot call yourself a believer this morning. Because Jesus said, unless you are attached to the vine, drawing life from the vine, you should be cut off and burned in the fire. So, Pastor, that's hard. No, it's truth. You say, well, no, that's not the way that I line it up. Prove it to me in the Word of God that it is different. You and I belong to the Lord. When we accept His glorious salvation into our lives, We are immediately commissioned to tell someone else. There should be souls being saved around us. No, we cannot force people to accept Christ. But we can tell them about Him. We can live it before them so that they become anxious for what is happening in our lives. I entrusted you with a $100 bill this morning. Okay? What I would like for you to do with that is I'd like for you to get an envelope there, and if there's a pen around, if you would write on that envelope, His hands extended. There we go. And when you leave here this morning, if you would put that in the offering plate back there, for me, I would appreciate it. Now, folk, he didn't earn the $100. He came into possession of it because I gave it to him. He cannot sit there and go, you know, I don't think it would go in his hands extended. I think it should go in the maintenance. Or my pocket. I didn't give it to him. Because I wasn't sure. I knew that he would at least make me work for it. Just for fun. Church, we've got to get it straight. We have a wrong... what are they calling it now? I can't think. False truth? What is it? What's that? Fake news. Yeah. We're believing fake news because we want it to be a certain way. So then that's the way we see it and that's the way it's going to be. I work hard for my money. Where do you think you get your strength? Huh? Maybe you have a concept. God didn't give me my money. I worked for it. My company gave it to me. Who keeps the company alive? If time would permit this morning, I would take you to Matthew 25, 14 to 30, the story of the talents. You know it. Illustrates the steward. Listen, to one he gave, to another, each according to his ability. We are entrusted to manage according to our ability. That is not just our ability to receive the monies, not just the ability to receive the health and the strength in our bodies, but to be a steward over it, to dispatch it out where God wants. Oh, if God would give me $1 million, I would give Him half of it. I can't tell you the number of people who have said to me, John, you appreciate this, the number of people who have said to me, oh, if I win that lottery, I'm going to pay off the church. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings when I say this, so if this gets too close, I'm sorry, but it's truth nevertheless. I can't tell you the number of individuals that were lining up to retire who said to me, Pastor, when I retire, I'm going to make myself available to the church. You look out. I smile and say, yeah. Because I've been doing this for 43 years. I have yet to have a single man or woman who retired to come and say, okay, I'm no longer spending 40 hours a week in that factory or in that place. Come on, let's see what God can do with me. Never. Now it's quiet, isn't it? Hey, come on, folks. We might as well look at this in truth. The truth is this. The earth It's the Lord's and everything in it. Every one of us belongs to the Lord. The 168 hours that you may be blessed with this week belong to the Lord. And He is giving it to you and saying to you, there are lost people in this world who will never know unless you give them some of that time that I have given to you. You know, you want to say, we're investing in the kingdom? I don't like that. I don't like that term. Because, you see, you can't invest that $100. Because it was not yours. The only thing that you can do is to say, well, Pastor Bill, I don't want this. You do with whatever you want. So just hand it back to me. Or whatever I've asked you to do, you go do. You see the power of that? Go, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and make disciples of all men. That's the commission that He gives to everyone who accepts His salvation. You notice He doesn't say there, now if you were an extrovert, this is going to be easy for you. But if you're an introvert, I have a special group of rules for you. No. Because you see, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And if you have been redeemed by the Lamb of God, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. The only thing that you and I are stewards of His possessions. Let me just close. Tom Vanderbilt wrote an article in Slate.com, July 2005. People in the United States possess about 1.9 billion square feet of personal storage space outside of the home. According to a recent survey, the owner of every 11 homes rents a storage space outside of their house. This is a 75% increase since 1995. As storage space has grown, so has the size of the average home, from 1,600 square feet in 1973 to 2,400 square feet in 2004. So, let's get this straight. Houses get bigger, average size of families gets smaller, yet we still need to tack on about 2 billion square feet to store our stuff. If the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, if we are simply managers of that which He entrusted to our care, the only question left is, how are you doing? How are you doing? Stewards? How are we doing? I have to admit, you know, putting the hours down as I did, I'm looking at those 64 hours and wondering just, what am I doing with 64 hours out of the week? Father in heaven, I thank You this morning that You have given to us so many blessings. The fact that we're here in this house, still breathing, still able. Master, help us this morning as we begin to think about our stewardship. Help us to get our minds straight that everything belongs to You. It's all Yours. You have just called us to manage what You put in our hands. And Lord, in that, there's nothing bad about that. It is just thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me the last 168 hours. Thank you for giving me the breath and the strength. Thank you, Lord, for everything that occurred this last week. Though some of it was difficult for me, I thank you, Lord, that you have brought me through it. Thank you. Help us, Master, to come to a new understanding and a new level of thankfulness, a new level of awareness that you've given us possessions to manage. The beginning of which is just our life. I know many in this room that have come through this virus. And they've come through with little to no stain upon them. Thank you, God. Thank you that you have ministered to people in this church family and brought them through. Oh, Master, we've got a new week ahead. Even this very day, Lord. Help us as we begin to reckon with our stewardship, again, to remember that it all belongs to you.